Welcome to the Aussie Villains podcast. It's Paul with his new co-host Josh. So excited. We've thumped Arsenal. We've survived an absolute thriller against Lille. It's all to play for. We're going to be playing for fourth. This is the Aussie Villains podcast. Let's go.
Or two with Leon Bailey approaching the penalty area and shooting and bringing the save. Oh, what a brilliant save! Douglas Luiz must have felt sure that he was going to score. Sensational stop by Chevalier. Bailey brings the save. Into Rogers. Duran's in the middle. The block's made by Yoro. No way through for Villa's number 27. Or is there? In it goes. Duran! Oh, what a save! Stupendous save by Chevalier with almost the last kick of extra time. Can they make the perfect start? The answer is yes. And Martinez makes the save. Is he at it again? After a lot of distraction, he fires it in just. It's Jonathan David against Emiliano Martinez, and he has scored. Yes, he can. Perfectly placed by Matty Cash. Gomez for Lille. Good penalty. It's saved! Great save, Chevalier! To deny Leon Bailey! And he has! Here comes Luiz. And now the stadium has got a whole lot quieter. Can he find the net here? No, he can't! He's missed! And Aston Villa are through to the semi-finals!
And Paul, it's the Aussie Villains podcast. Just want to say very much thank you to Spud and to Rhino and to Tess, who stay very good friends of the pod. They're going to go a little bit different direction, so you'll actually get more podcasting about the Villa from Australia, so it's fantastic, and we'll announce their show when it gets up and running as well. Just want to say thank you to them. Josh, welcome aboard, mate. You've been on the podcast before. Absolutely stoked to have you as a co-host.
Yeah, thanks very much, Paul, and thanks to the guys. You know, without you getting them on board, it wouldn't have grown as much as it has, and it's a real pleasure listening in, and I can't wait to see what those guys do as well.
Yeah, and look, we're a family Villa, and things happen in life, and I'm going to be promoting the hell out of their show when it gets up and running. But in saying that, Josh, things change in the world, and we've made our first semi-final of any European competition since 1982.
Yeah, it's something a bit special about that already, isn't there? It's like, I remember speaking to you early in the season, and we were talking about where Villa finished. I said three, and I don't think I'm going to be too far wrong with that. And the fact that the boys just like lifted it, and you can always rely on Emmy in a penalty shootout, and I woke up to seeing it and goosebumps. I don't know, it's like never had this feeling before as a Villa fan.
It's funny because people who don't like Villa or you know, there's always negative people who want to put something down. You know, last year when West Ham had their success, I was super excited for them. And, you know, they might be enemies when we play them, but you want success for the teams that haven't had it in a long time. Look, Will, for large parts of both legs, outplayed us, and they are a serious team. So it was a really good effort for us to get up over them on penalties. And I wasn't even sure if Martinez was going to be playing. I had no idea what the rules were when he got that second yellow card.
I don't think anyone did. I was just thinking, who's coming in? They're going to put Dougie Louise, or can we put Olsen on? I never knew. But, you know, to be honest, I don't think Emi's wrong. And, like, after the match, he sort of said, like, I get labelled as a time waster. Why would he be time wasting in, like, the first half when we're 1-0 down, you know? It's just a bad thing for him. But, you know, he pulled through and we won and we're in a semi-final. How good does that sound as a Villa fan?
Oh, mate, look, he does. You would hate him. You would. I know. I don't like using the word hate. You would hate him if he played for anyone else, right? Because he's such a shit stirrer.
But 100%, yeah.
You just bloody love him. I mean, and it's the same as when he plays for Argentina, you know. Every other country would hate him. But, you know, he's a master manipulator. And he does push the boundaries. He does, whether you call it time-wasting or not, he does take his time doing anything, doesn't he?
Yeah, but, like, he's our keeper and he can do whatever he wants in my eyes at the moment, you know. It's just one of those things. But on the plus, we're through and that's what matters. And he was there. He was a massive part in that. And I love him.
I just thought that just looking at the game, and as I said, we were outplayed for large parts and we looked like we were in all sorts of trouble before a deflected shot by Matty Cash. But I tell you what, I know people aren't saying, I thought we were kind of lucky based on how a lot of things are refereed. We were kind of lucky. Duran got stuck in, pushed the defender into the keeper. And I don't think there was much in it, but the way football is officiated these days, I thought, oh no, this goal's going to get pulled back. I really did.
Yeah, it was a definite like heart and mouth moment. But like, as you say, I don't think Duran was focused on the ball the whole time. He wasn't intentionally trying to barge someone in. But you can see him go one way, see him go the other. Luckily, it went our way. And Matty Cash deserves a massive plaudit. Coming back for an injury, playing 120 minutes. And a lot of people slate Cash. But one thing for Cash, he's always committed and always puts in a performance. And he's one of my favourite players at the moment. In this current side. Because, yeah, he's not technically as good as what we think we should be. But realistically, we're in fourth in the Premiership. And should we be there? Yeah, we should, because we are there. But yeah, you always want to be better. But he always puts in a full shift, and he gets slated. But he comes up with them important goals sometimes. You know, it's the same in the FA Cup against Middlesbrough.
Yeah, absolutely. And I thought Ollie Watkins with his penalty was just so. There was so many things going on. You know, a ball in the field, then another ball in the field. Everything you could try and get distracted on. And he just slotted it away beautifully.
Well, yeah, look, what a season Watkins has had. You know, he's arguably the best striker in the Premiership at the moment. You can have your Haalands, but, like, look, everyone's going Haaland, Palmer. Watkins hasn't even had a penalty, and he's on 19 goals. And the assists this year, it's just like he's upped his game. And we always knew he had it. And then you have fans from other clubs, oh, yeah, Watkins isn't that all that. But they don't see him like how we see him. And, you know, I think a lot of clubs can come sniffing around, but I think he'll still be at Villa next year as well.
I think Emery's allowed him to, Emery and his team have done a magnificent job in giving him the confidence and obviously still teaching him. And so he, you know, has had the ability to take on learnings, which not all players will do. But he's not having to press as hard as he used to and run from one defender to the other. He kind of zones off now. He can save some energy. 29 goals and assists combined in the Premier League, plus all his goals and assists in Europe. mate, I don't think any of us saw him becoming this player.
No, not at all. You know, we always knew he had something in him because that's, you know, when we bought him, he was a potential buy with bags of potential, you know. And do you know what my favourite thing is? Troy Deeney giving him the ammo, because he's just going to prove him wrong. He's not a winger. He is a striker. And what Emery done, you know, he's like focused on being inside, like in the width of the 18-yard box. And, you know, look at his game now. It's completely different.
Well, we put a question up early. So at Aussie Villains, you can get us at Aussie Villains on X. I still call it Twitter, no matter what.
It's Twitter, yeah.
We put up a question earlier this week. Is Ollie Watkins the best Villa striker that you've seen in your time following the club? And we had 714 responses. So thank you to everyone. And we a lot of comments as well. But 60% said yes, 27% said no, and 13% were unsure. So that's a, you know, that's over 400 responders have said that he's the best striker they've ever seen. There were some magnificent comments in there. I won't read them out. I'll give one example from Dylan 57. Not yet. Gray, Whittle, and Peter With, obviously.
Yeah.
So that was very common. The people who did respond, though, really had came out with some good players as well. And what I want to make clear with this, the question was, is it the best Villa striker that you've seen in your lifetime? So a lot of younger supporters, you know, Ben Tekke and the Bonga Hall would have been the best strikers that they would have seen in their time. So,
yeah,
it all comes down to your experience. For me, you know, yeah, I know you can go on statistics and everything. I'll just go on, you know, what I saw. And to me, he's not the best striker we've ever had, but gosh, he's going to be close by the end of his career.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. And for me, he probably is the best striker I've seen. As you all know, like Dean Saunders was my first hero. And, you know, from that, we've had some great strikers. Dion Dublin's got a special place in my heart. Yeah. Even Marcus Allback, which is a bit of a wild one. Because he helped keep us up the 1 year. I remember at Southampton, he scored, and it was, we were in the away end and we were going nuts. And I think we were 3-0 down at halftime and we won 4-3. And I just had this weird feeling at halftime. I think I was about maybe 14. I said to my dad, he's like, Dad, can you put a bet on Villa to win the second half? And we did. And then I can remember my dad running down the stairs to collect about, I think it was about £180 at the time.
Cool.
Going back a few moons there. But, you know, it's just, there's been great strikers. But Watkins probably is, on this season, he is the best striker I've seen. Because I still will never forgive Dwight Yorke, because I was at the Everton game before he joined United and he didn't care. And he was a hero and I can just never forgive him for what he did in that performance. It was terrible. And people that saw that and were about then, they'll understand what I'm saying. And yeah, Watkins, love him.
Well, let's go back a few days as well. And what a performance against Arsenal. We rode our luck. They rode their luck as well. I think, you know, we could have been 3-0 down at one stage and we could have been 3-2 down. And it was just one of those strange games. And Arsenal didn't take their chances. We did. And we were extremely unlucky. That shot that Watkins, I don't know how it hit the upright and spun past the other upright. I've never seen anything quite like it.
And then Tielemans almost reenacted with the crossbar and the post. It's just like, it's unreal. But like, that's the thing. I think, do you know what I think won us that game? Obviously, goals win your games. But it was that save from Martinez on Trossard. If he didn't save that, we, you know, the way Arsenal have been putting away teams, it could have been 3-4-0. And, you know, we rode our luck in the first half. But the second half, we bossed the game. And, you know, I think when we spoke earlier in the year, we both said about Tielemans being an important player. And by job, he's so important to our team now. You know, he might not be the quickest, but his football intelligence is incredible. And the way he's linking up with players, a great sign in.
Yeah, we just have to trust, trust Emery and his team, because, you know, they knew what they saw in him. And, you know, he's got fitter, he's getting more minutes. You don't have to be the quickest to be a great foot. There's been plenty of footballers who aren't the quick. And I don't think he's slow. That's the thing.
But if you look at the game from 10 years ago to now, the game's so quick. Yeah. You got so many quick players. You like, like Watkins is quick, and he like even when he's running, he doesn't necessarily look quick, but he is flying. And yeah, we've got a squad now, whereas I think that's what we were kind of lacking a bit last season. Then we like picked up a team from Gerrard that were defeated. And you look at them now; they're winners.
Oh, and so switched on together. So Bailey scored the go-ahead goal. I hate that term, but he scored the first goal, and it was on his right foot. I didn't hear enough commentators talking about that as well. I mean,
well, commentators don't talk about Villa, that's why.
Yeah, that's true as well. But it was on his right foot, you know. So what might have seen as simple tapping in the end was a bit more difficult than people thought. Thought the keeper could have done a better job. And then with the second goal, people are trying to tell me, even though it was deflected, that Ollie Watkins wasn't trying to chip that ball. They're kidding me.
Yeah. You can see how he kicked it as a chip. If he wasn't going to chip it, he would have hit it with power. It's like, but that's people, we're not the recognised top six. And I kind of like it that they still don't believe in us. It's fun.
It is. And that goal was just absolutely fantastic. You're talking about pace. It almost felt like he was ahead of but wanted the defender to be with him, like, so he knew where he was. I know that might sound silly, but he got past him, felt him near, and kind of stayed with him. And I think he kept him on his hip. So
yeah,
I just thought that was absolutely sensational forward play, and very exciting to win that game. And look, the fourth is ours now to lose. I mean, it's going to be tight. There's all, you know, we could go through all the permutations, but this season is one, and plenty of other podcasts and people will tell you there's going to be games you expect to win that you don't, and games you don't expect to win that you do.
I remember Forest away. I thought, like, yeah, we've got the chance here. Didn't happen. They outplayed us. So then we put in the shifts like we have against City at home. Like, I've never seen a Villa team like that.
No.
Beating Arsenal, you know, we in the home leg, we rode our luck.
Yep.
But did we come away with 3 points? Yeah. And that's all that matters.
Basically, we take 6 points off Arsenal and drop 6 points to Man U. That's the kind of season it is, you know, and leading twice against Man U.
Yeah. Oh, don't even. I remember I was up in the Gold Coast at Christmas and I was flying back. Villa are 2-0 up. I'm like, yeah, happy day. Let's get off the plane. And we've lost 3-2. I was like, had bad memories of a certain game that we played at Old Trafford that we went to. But, yeah. You know, lose to Man U twice. We always lose to Man U. I'm used to that. A lot of my family are Man United fans, and I'm used to getting
Sorry for that.
Yeah, yeah. They're very quiet this year, though.
Yeah, one of my brothers is a Man U supporter, and he has said nothing in the last year or two, so it's been nice.
Yeah.
So look, we won't look at the run home at the moment because I think now that we're into the semi-finals in Europe as well, the permutations have changed again, where we're going to be playing on Sunday nights. So at one point it looked like we could be playing our next couple of games ahead of Tottenham, but we'll be playing our next couple of we'll be playing our next couple of games at the same time as Tottenham, or around about the same time. So we'll see what happens, but the pressure's always on a team chasing.
Yeah, exactly. And pressure is on Tottenham. And, you know, I don't care what Tottenham do. I care what Villa do. And I think that's the way we should all look at it. Like, don't worry about the team that's below us. Worry about what we're doing. If we carry on like we are, fourth is ours.
Oh, mate, look, and we don't take it for granted. And I don't want to put the moz on it. We could be the best supporter group and the worst supporter group ever, right? Because
even we're fourth and you still see Villa fans complaining. It's ridiculous. It's like fourth in the league. I can't even, like, the last times I remember Joys of Europe was under Martin O'Neill, you know. Then you look at what happened to the team. We nearly lost it. And, you know, now we've got the right owners. They've put the stadium expansion on hold. They care about what we're doing. And, like, all the paper talks now are, will Emery go to a big club? He's already at a big club.
Absolutely. And he really is. And he's said it himself in recent weeks about, you know, how important it is to get a team into Europe. Now, mate, we've got some questions on our Aussie Villains podcast and Villa Chat. So Peter Steinfurt always asks great questions. as I understand it, Emmy misses the first leg versus Olympiacos. I think we're lucky the first leg is at home, and I'd hate for the reserve goalkeeper to cop the away heat. Thoughts? Emmy, elite shithousery. Geez, I love the man. So he pretty much, thanks, Peter, for the question. He pretty much sums up what we talked about earlier. I haven't seen anything absolute that he misses the next game, but there's been no, like, kind of reputable sites that I've seen. I'm pretty sure he does, but I haven't seen anything to say. I haven't seen anything. I'm not sure about you.
Yeah, I'm not 100%. Like, you read all the forums that you're in and, like, people go, oh, he's going to miss it. Yeah, if he misses it, he misses it. But we're not a one-man team. You know, he helped us get through. But there's 11 players on that field. And, like, Olsen got bad flack for his... Like, he always gets bad flack. But you got to remember, he's an international goalkeeper. We signed a young Aussie keeper who's an international goalkeeper. Like, how many teams can say their first choice is an international keeper, their second choice is an international keeper, their third choice is an international keeper? Like, don't worry. It's all in the process. And the thing is, if he does miss... Yeah, so what? Olsen, when he played against Man City, I thought he personally had a good game. You know, the goals that he conceded, no one, Emmy wouldn't have saved them.
Yeah, look, he may have, you never know, but unlikely. It was the way that game was played, City were going to thump us. The writing was on the wall. I think Emmy's elite shithousery is the best we've ever had. There's only probably one other player who's ever been like that for Villa in my time of following Villa, 40-odd years, and that would have to be another keeper. And he may be Australian.
Yeah, I was at that Tottenham game. because I remember he took Klinsmann out, and then, he was a shithouse. And also a great penalty saver as well.
He was a great penalty saver, but he did love giving shit to the opposition. And I think we've got a good tradition going with our keepers now. The very best keepers we've had love giving grief to the opposition. So that's fantastic.
Yeah. And that's why we love them.
Absolutely. Mark Smith, Smithy, who's always a great supporter of the podcast, he's just written, great to have you back and welcome, Josh. First up, will Unai Emery ever get the credit he deserves from the media for the job he's done at Villa? And secondly, is there a bigger shithouse in football than Emi Martinez? We'll go on the first question. I think we've covered Emi. No, probably not, but he's pretty good. I would say there might have been a certain midfielder from Tottenham who I think may have been very good at the shithousery as well. Paul Gascoigne. I think he was one of the greatest I've ever seen at winding up the opposition. But Unai will only get credit from the media when we do something in Europe. So even qualifying for Europe, I think the real pundits will recognise, and I think they already do recognise the job.
Yeah.
I just think it's taken a while.
Well, the thing is, the way I see it is, like, do you know when he's going to get applauded? When he wins Premier PFA Manager of the Year this year, because who else is going to win it? Are you going to give it to Pep? No, he's just done what
they probably will. They probably will.
Yeah, of course they will. Or, like, it was like, I was shocked he didn't win it last year. Look at the state he picked us up in, and then we still finished seventh. But, you know, does he deserve it? Yeah, he does. I think real football fans and real pundits understand Emery. And then there's the ones that are just jealous.
I just think he's an absolute football savant. You know, like, you look at guys like Bill Belichick in the NFL, you don't have to like him, but you can recognise just his brilliance as a, you know, I know he had Brady. You've got to have the people there. And you look at, coaches from all around the world who succeed. It's all based on their cattle as well. There's no doubt about it. But for what Emery's done, if we make the Champions League with the squad we've got compared to, honestly, what Arsenal, what Liverpool, what City have, what an amazing job.
Oh, incredible. You, like, realistically, you look at Chelsea as well. They've got a great squad. They just can't play. You look at United, they've got an incredible squad. And, you know, you can blame injuries all you like. We've got three players on an ACL this year. Absolutely. We've lost Ramsey, you know. Moreno's not been the player that he has. He's been injured on and off. And, you know, do you know what I love about Emery? He doesn't complain about it. He just gets on with it and does the job.
mate, he's just amazing. You know, celebrates for a few minutes with the boys, and he's back on the computer. You know, football is his life. Let's be honest about it. And people, some stupid commentators this week saying, "Oh, look, he's going to go to a bigger club if this club calls, if that club calls." He's been to big clubs already. He's been to some of the biggest in the world.
Yeah,
he's got an absolute dream job now. To have the keys to the door to a very, very big club that could become a great club over the next few years, it will all be on him. You know, like if you go to Liverpool next, or if you go to City next as a manager or anyone like that, you're on a hiding to nothing. And he's had that before when he took over from Wenger. Why would he want to go through that again?
Yeah, and like he's got the last laugh now. And that's the thing. It's like we know he's elite. His football resume tells us that he's elite. And, when he was at Arsenal, he didn't do a bad job either. It's just like anyone that's going in that job after Wenger, you know, it's just, you look at United, the person that goes in after Ferguson, he was like, "I want David Moyes. Look what he did." And like, no one's perfect, but, you know, the best thing about it is we've got Unai now, and he's our manager. And people are going, "Oh, is he ready for the next step up?" He's been there, done that. He's building something around Villa.
I find that hilarious. Is he ready for the next step up? Well, the next step up is to win a Premier League or a Champions League, right? Who's ready for that? I don't think anyone's really ready for it. You're ready for it once you've done it.
Exactly.
Yeah, so he's ready.
Yeah, and we'll lift the cup this year, hopefully. And who knows? Champions League, you know, we get Champions League and people go, "Oh yeah, you get knocked out like Newcastle." So what? We were there. Even if we did get knocked out, I'd be so proud to know that we're in the most elite competition in European football.
Oh, look, would any there would not be a Newcastle supporter or a reasonable Newcastle supporter who wouldn't, you know, still have wanted that journey through the Champions League and the away trips, all of that stuff.
100%.
You know, no one would say, "Oh no, look, I wish we hadn't done it." That's a load of crap. Kevin asks a question. Kevin Framp. Thanks, Kevin. "There seems to be conflicting stories about Emi's possible suspension. I've also seen people tweeting screen grabs of UEFA rules saying all yellow cards in the quarterfinals expire after the round and don't carry forward." I've heard that and read that one as well. Yeah. I just don't know, Kevin. We'll keep an eye out in the next 24 hours. I'm sure it'll be clarified. I think we're all asking the same thing. I think we're all considering that he is suspended. He is probably, but no, nothing reputable that I've seen. If anyone has, hey, put it up. I'm more than happy. Put it up under Aussie Villains on Twitter. Put it on our podcast page. But look, we've got another big, every game's big now. Every game's big. Sunday night, Monday morning for most Aussies. We are playing Bournemouth this week on Monday morning. Sunday night, depending on where you are. Huge one.
Oh, every game's huge in the Premiership. Bournemouth have been on a good run. They don't play bad football as well. I believe their manager just picked up Manager of the Month as well, if I remember correctly. And that, you know, there's no easy game. There's people that can turn up. It's like, even like watching likes of Luton, they put up a fight. Everyone puts up a fight because they want to prove their point. And, you know, we've just got to be focused and win. That's the only way we can do it.
It's going to be a test. I think that's what's made the Premier League so amazing this year. Bournemouth, we're talking about the games that we're expected to win and something doesn't happen. This has the hallmarks of exactly that. You know, we are expected to win this. We had a tough game against Lille. But I like the substitutions and the way he set up this game. And I think there's no way on this earth that Villa team's going to go and taking anything for granted.
Oh, 100% they're not. I think he'll put out a really strong side, the strongest that we can have. And, you know, look at everyone. We didn't have Dougie Luiz in against Arsenal and people stepped up. And like honourable mention, I think Rodgers is a really good signing. Rodgers really seems to be coming into his own.
Yeah, and people bagged him as well. And I think he's had a really, really... I think he's become a very good, solid squad player. And kudos to him as well.
Yeah, a bit controversial what I'm going to say now. I think he's an upgrade on Ramsey.
I don't.
Yeah.
I think he is.
But, yeah, it's, you know, it's something that you got. He's in the England under-21 setup, same as JJ. Like, I don't know, like, I'm not the most big Ramsey fan, but, yep. You know, I think Rodgers got the potential to be better.
Mate, that's a really... You'd be the first person I know who've said that. Is it a gut feeling or something you've seen in his game?
I don't know. It's just like, I think he's strong. He can run. Like, I'm not bagging JJ. I think he's a great player. But I think that Rodgers will potentially... they're going to be the ones fighting for that place. And I think Rodgers is going to be the one that pulls through. He was in Man City's academy, you know. And people were like, oh, why are we buying this guy? I think he's a great asset and he's only going to get better.
Also for the financial fair play and everything as well.
Yeah.
It also being an English, a young English player also helps in regards. And you can't take that kind of thing for granted. So people are talking about Ramsey potentially leaving and stuff. We need these players for financial play, especially going in we're going to be playing Europa League at the worst, right?
Yeah.
We're going to be playing Champions League. This year we're in the Europa Conference League.
Yeah.
We're going to be attracting really quality players, but we need to have the English boys in the squad as well. And when they're a bit younger, they're not going to be taking as much money. Their wage bill is absolutely out of control at the moment.
Yeah. Like,
but the quality we've got, the wage bill is out of control.
Oh, of course it is. It's like, I think like Luca Dean's on like one of our biggest earners, you know, but in saying that, he's been absolutely fantastic this year. Like, I think he's literally, everyone was bagging him, but now you look at him, he's been one of our best players this year and he's been reliable. And when Moreno come back, he didn't look like he was whinging. He could be a player that's moved on because of the wages, but then you've got to replace him. What do we do? Who do we get in? Absolutely. Who knows?
Agree. Well, Josh, let's get into it, mate. Bournemouth, I need a score prediction from you, and I want the goal scorers as well.
I'm going to go with 2-1.
Yep.
I think they're going to score first, and I reckon Diaby and Watkins.
Oh, I like it. I'm going to go 2-0, and I'm going to go very basic. It's going to be Leon Bailey and Watkins. Leon Bailey is actually going to hit the crossbar. It's going to bounce back to him, and he's going to header it in. Watkins is going to do... Oh, what's he going to do? He's actually going to do an angle. He's going to come in on the angle on the left foot, and he's just going to slide it through the near post.
Yeah.
And the
he's a winger after all, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, he's a winger after all. And the commentators will talk about how the keeper should have done better on both occasions. Mate, welcome to the podcast as a co-host.
Thank you so much.
Oh, mate, of course. And look, you've been on the pod before. As we said, the Aussie Villains podcast will continue. To Ryan, Tess and Spud, we wish you the absolute best with your ventures into the Villa football world again. I can't wait to actually hear your podcast.
Yeah.
Any other feelings, any other words about Villa this week, mate?
Do you want to bet against us?
I love it. Well, for me, mate, it's always, I'm 50 years old, and for me, it's football of all codes is about the journey. And if we can't enjoy what we're seeing right now and we're worried about this, that, and the other, just stop for a second and enjoy each of the victories you're seeing because they are special. And if it all becomes about your trophies and everything, which the world has become, you never have a journey to get there.
Well, the last trophy I saw Villa lift was the Intertoto Cup. And previous to that, it was the Coca-Cola Cup in 96. Absolutely. And do you know what? If we were to get this European Cup, it would shut them blue noses up about 2011.
Well, when it comes to blue noses, I've got no time for them. I hate UB40, so...
they're touring Australia. I got asked if I wanted to go. I was like, not a chance.
Not a chance. Mate, we will be probably in the next few days doing a follow-up podcast. We're going to be back regularly. And Josh, cannot wait to hear some of your bad jokes as we go through this podcast together.
I'll give you a right few money on them ones. So, it's been an absolute pleasure to be back, and I'm looking forward to the future.
Up the Villa.
Up the Villa.